It's time to enter Mr. B's neighborhood. Scott Bertelson brings you an interview with a North Iowa neighbor each second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 5:30 p.m. Find this and other episodes of Mr. B's Neighborhood on our website, KIOW.com. Now here's Scott Bertelson, Mr. B.
Hello? Hello, I'm at your front door. Yes, hello. Ring, ring, ring. Hello, are you home? Are you home? It's Mr. B. I'm in the neighborhood, and I have some news for you. Can I come in for coffee? Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Now, as we're sitting down for coffee today, I have a marvelous person that I have waiting to come in with me. Do you mind if I invite her in? Okay, thank you. Her name is Liz Thompson. Oh, yes, Liz Thompson. And Liz Thompson lives here in Forest City with her wonderful husband and her beautiful child, which we'll be hearing about. And I wanted her to have the opportunity to talk more about her life here in Forest City. So, Liz, sit down, have a cup of coffee. Welcome to Mr. B's Neighborhood.
Thank you, Scott. How are you?
I am a mess, as always.
Oh, wonderful. Aren't we all?
You know, a lot of people say to me, how are you? And instead of giving the standard, I'm fine, I'll simply say, I don't know.
You know, that's probably a good answer some days, because I feel the same way.
Yes, and because that way it makes them stop and think. And if they really want to know, then they'll talk to me some more. And that's why most people just keep walking.
Oh, goodness. So. Well, I'm so glad that I stopped in today.
So, Liz, first of all, tell us about your occupation here in Forest City. What do you do?
Yeah, absolutely. I am currently the executive director for the Forest City Education Foundation. So in case you don't know exactly what we do, we are a nonprofit organization that works to raise money to give out scholarships to the graduating seniors here in Forest City. But we also use some of those fundraising dollars to provide other educational opportunities for them, such as our ACT prep class. We send kids to the Hugh O'Brien Leadership Conference every summer. And new as of last year, we started a college and career kind of exploration class to help the kids really understand what all of their options are after high school and how to get there without having to be in too much student loan debt and be able to find get to where they want to be in life career-wise. So it's been a lot of fun. I feel like I'm running 24/7, but it's a good feeling, and I have really loved getting to know the kids over the last couple of years, and it's just phenomenal to see the amount of support that our community and our alumni have for the school district. You know, we're actually working on senior awards night plans for right now, and just looking at our numbers for this year, I could cry. Just honestly, just thinking about how big it's going to be this year.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yep.
Wonderful. I remember, Liz, when I graduated from high school in 1901, that I don't remember any scholarships. I don't remember any money. Mm-hmm. I believe you received a diploma and then it was bye-bye. But that has really, really evolved. Mm-hmm. Over the years.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I know this group started about 30-some years ago, and looking back at even those numbers, you know, I know that it just starting off, they were doing everything that they could to give out the scholarships, and it's just been so heartwarming to see how much they have progressed over the years. Mm-hmm. And how much they've continued to be able to build on that scholarship money every year. Mm-hmm. I have all kinds of people that come back as donors and say, you know, I benefited from this when I graduated, but it was nothing like what it is today. Mm-hmm. And so it's nice to see that support.
Mm-hmm. So can you tell me what a so-called typical day is like for you, Liz, if there is such a thing?
There is no such thing as a typical day.
That's what would make it enjoyable as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. Yes. There's mm-hmm. there's never really a boring day at the office. There might be a little bit of downtime. We don't work for the school, but we work very similarly to like the school schedule. So the summertime is a little slower for us at the office, but not boring by any means. We usually are working on reviewing everything and seeing what else we can maybe bring to the school for the following year. And working on plans for all of our events to try and work ahead on some of that stuff. So it's definitely never boring around mm-hmm. our office.
No. So is it safe to say, Liz, then, do you go out and, so to speak, solicit funds from businesses or corporations or people or...
Yeah, so part of our event planning comes along with asking for, you know, sponsorships or match donors and stuff like that. Yes. Unfortunately, because it's me and my part-time assistant on the payroll, and then we have, you know, a whole board of very active volunteers, which is fantastic. But I know that they also have busy lives outside of this.
Yes.
I haven't been able to step out and talk to quite as many individual donors just yet as I would have liked to at this point, but we're working on kind of getting some of that stuff lined up here for the future. But yes, there is quite a few times during the year when it's calling businesses and asking for sponsorships or donations for various events to go towards various programs for us. So,
So say, for example, Liz, that I wanted to start a scholarship fund for a young person maybe who's majoring in education. I would just come to you and work out the ramifications of that then, how that all works? And
yeah, absolutely. So we have just a very basic process, I guess you could say, for people who want to come in and set up scholarships with us. Most of our donors come to us with a little bit of an idea of what they want to do, but they're not quite sure. So we really just kind of talk it out. You know, why do you want to give a scholarship? How much are you looking to give? Do you have any specific qualifications? We do have some people that specifically look for kids, you know, going to these different schools or going into this different area of education, you know, that kind of stuff. And we just kind of go from there. But it's a fairly straightforward process. We do have some people that come to us with bigger requests when it comes to, we have a couple of classes that have gotten together over the years to put together bigger scholarship funds, and so we typically solicit the help of our accountant to help us set all of that up, and we can help them with the investment side of things as well if that's ever anything that someone's interested in in needing. So
if anybody in the community would be interested in doing something like this, how do they contact you, Liz?
They can either call my office at 585-0005, or they can stop by. I'm in the same building as the district office, so it's the Cooper building there right across the street from the courthouse, and we can chat anytime. It's usually the best way to get a hold of me.
Oh, okay. Well, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to shift gears.
Yes.
Now, all right. We've talked about scholarships. Now, I want to talk about what brought you to the fair city of Forest City many years ago, and why did you stay and go?
It really has been many years ago because
equate that you were old.
Oh, no. I was just reminded, thanks to my Facebook memories, that it's been 10 years since I graduated from college. So I can feel the gray hairs coming in, and I know that that sounds silly, but nope. So I moved here in the fall of 2009 to go to Waldorf.
Okay.
It was still Waldorf College back then.
Oh, my goodness.
So that should date me right there. So I came here on a theater scholarship, actually. I know that, you know, doesn't surprise you in the least bit, knowing my family history. So I came here on a theater scholarship to go to Waldorf, and I made all kinds of friends in those first couple of years, obviously, within the theater department, including my now husband. He and I met doing theater together. And
oh,
so
that's a love story. It sounds like a Nicholas Sparks novel.
Maybe not quite Nicholas Sparks level, but love you, honey.
Okay.
No, so we met doing theater, and he was a couple years older than me. So when he graduated, he stuck around until I finished school. And by the time I finished school, by the time I finished school, he had found a job that he really liked. And so, truthfully, we were two broke college kids who really didn't have a lot of money to be able to go anywhere. So we figured we would see what was around here. And we liked Forest City. We liked the small town. You know, neither one of us is real big into the idea of living in a bigger city. We're just, you know, we'd like to visit, but we don't want to stay, kind of a thing. Amen. So we fell in love with the area, and I stayed on as a graduate assistant at Waldorf after I graduated. So I got my master's degree, and by the time I finished that up, we had gotten married and just decided that we would stick around and see what life brought us, and we never left.
Oh, now, may I ask what your occupation was prior to working for the scholarship fund?
Yeah, so I right before the Education Foundation, I worked as the project manager for Koloff Digital. And then prior to that, I was the safety coordinator for CR Holland Crane Service. So that's
what does that mean in English?
Oh, basically.
Knowledgeable.
No, you're good. Okay. The safety coordinator job. So I made sure that all the everyone on site got all of their safety training done. I wrote up any accident reports. I had to take a couple of guys to the emergency room to get some stitches a couple times. And then there were other little things I helped with, like parts orders and stuff like that. So,
And then at Digital, Koloff Digital?
Yep, at Koloff Digital, I was their project manager for a couple of years. So I was kind of the person that kind of helped to organize, okay, here's a project that's come in, here's who needs to work on it, here's our timeline, and just kind of making sure that whoever was working on it had everything that they needed. I also helped manage their digital ad campaigns that they ran for various clients, so I worked with, you know, social media ads and all that good stuff. So
now, having a theatrical background, can you share a little bit or elaborate a little bit on your affiliation with the Brick Street Theater?
Absolutely. So I was basically born into the theater. My mother ran the costume shop back in Spencer for a very long time. I have vivid memories of being drug out of her rehearsals, kicking and screaming by my dad, because I wanted to be up on stage with mom and all the other theater people. And obviously, you can't just, you know, as a kid, be running around at somebody else's rehearsals.
Not usually, but I've seen it.
Yes. I had my theater debut at 6 years old. I was a squirrel in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Oh, I bet you were the cutest squirrel.
I might be able to agree with that. But, of course, from there was no question as to what I was going to do with my free time. And so I grew up doing all kinds of theater productions at the community theater back in Spencer, both on and off stage. I obviously got very involved with theater and speech once I got into high school, and that's why I obviously came to Waldorf. After I got done with my master's degree and kind of got into the real world, I was kind of missing out on some of that and all. And so a couple years after that, I got into checking out Brick Street a little bit more as the revival was happening and trying to just kind of get my feet wet and see what it was about. Yes, and so I joined the board for a couple of years, and I had my first director opportunity with Brick Street. We did Five Women Wearing the Same Dress back in 2018.
Oh,
2019.
Funny.
It was so fun to work with. That whole cast was just phenomenal. So, and I've obviously during the pandemic, when everything kind of was shut down, I took a little bit of a step back from that, but it's been really exciting kind of jumping back into that. So as you know, I was on stage here this spring with August Osage County, which was the first show I have physically been in over 10 years. So it was a little scary jumping back into that into the stage life there. So
I commend you for that.
But it was such a great show to work on, and I'm really thankful for that opportunity to have had that.
Now, having a child, does that throw something into the mix then? I mean, you're going to rehearsal, I'm guessing, three nights a week, something like that.
Yeah, so rehearsals were like three nights a week. Luckily for me, the part that I had wasn't like a major character, and so I didn't have to be at rehearsal every single night. Okay. And when I did need to be there, luckily rehearsal started about the same time that Addie was going to bed, so I really wasn't missing out on a lot.
Probably my bedtime.
Yeah.
Anyway, I could see that then.
Yeah, so it really was perfect timing. Yes. You know, I had talked it out with my husband. He said, you know, obviously rehearsals are going to be potentially a few nights a week. Are you okay with handling, you know, Addie on your own? You know, and so it was kind of nice that it worked out that she's young enough that it's not like I was missing out on a lot with her. Mm-hmm. And it was a small enough role that it's not like I had to be there a ton until we got closer to performances, and even then it really wasn't a terrible transition between coming home, having to leave her with dad to do nighttime routine, and then go on to rehearsal. So
I was going to say, I know by the time this runs that August Osage County will have been a memory, but the audience needs to know that, as I was sharing with you, Elizabeth, that I have never been so moved by a production as I was by August Osage County. The direction of that show was impeccable. The acting was impeccable. The story was riveting, absolutely riveting. And we as a community are so lucky to have a group of people who can act as they did in that show right in our backyard.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
This show, and you know, I have to admit, I had never seen the stage play or read the script prior to audition, so I watched the movie, which I know sometimes you really shouldn't do that, but oh my goodness, Meryl Streep is a queen.
The queen.
And so I really didn't know. I kind of knew some aspects of the show, of the movie, and didn't, but I didn't know everything, and so I watched the movie, and of course, I was just absolutely blown away by everything. And so I knew that I wanted to be a part of this show. I wanted to work with Dan, who was... I've worked with Dan in other theater aspects, but I've never worked with him as a director. And so I was really excited to have that opportunity. And I have to say, I felt very nervous. There again, being on stage for the first time in 10 years, but also working with such a seasoned cast of actors. And we got done with the table reading, and there was just this moment of silence when all of us realized just how incredible this was going to be after putting in 6 weeks of work and that labor and that all of that blood, sweat, and tears into a show like this. Fairly simple as I would say my character was, it was one of the harder roles I've ever had because I've never been pushed so hard by a director to really think about character development. Mm-hmm. And I know that there were plenty of nights where I left rehearsal having to sit in my car for a minute just to kind of calm down from that a little bit, which is definitely not a bad thing.
Not at all.
But there were plenty of nights where it was a little harder than some other nights to kind of come out of that once in a while. But
again, the name is Dan May, and he was the director of the show, and impeccably well done every aspect of that show. Kudos to all of you. And speaking of that, tell us about some of the shows that you were in when you were at Waldorf as a student.
Yeah.
You were in a plethora of shows. Well, a plethora of shows. I thought you were, because I saw some.
Yes. So I think my very first show was Our Town. I was the narrator, which was a little intimidating as a freshman, because that's a huge role. But I actually, so I did a couple of different Shakespeare shows. We did Merchant of Venice that first year, and then I was Hero in, oh my goodness.
Oh, that's okay.
Oh. Okay. No, it's my favorite. This isn't okay.
It'll come to you later.
Oh, no, I was Hero in Much Ado About Nothing, which is one of my absolute favorite Shakespeare shows. And so it was such a great time to do that one. Let's see. I was also in Crimes of the Heart.
Yes.
And we did How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. Kiss Me, Kate.
Yes.
Let's see. Oh, we did Three Sisters, but I wasn't in that show.
Okay.
That was not really my favorite show, story wise.
A downer.
A little bit, yes.
Nothing against Chekhov.
Oh,
no.
Oh, everything against Chekhov.
Oh.
And everything against Henrik Ibsen. I'm sorry.
Oh, yes. Oh,
we did Peer Gynt, and that was just a monster of a show in so many ways, shape, or form. And then I think one of my favorite shows that we did there, we did Tartuffe.
Yes.
We did it. We kind of modernized it a little bit, and we did kind of a True Blood spin on it, and it was so fun.
Oh, my gosh, I love True Blood.
Oh, it was so fun to do it in that kind of that setting, which is
sure,
fun.
Sure, of course. Yes.
But so I met my husband, as I said, working in theater together because we were building and painting sets together. And so I did probably a little bit more off stage than I did on stage. So we kind of got to know each other doing that. But I helped design and build most of the sets and paint those sets over those 4 years, which was an even more of an incredible experience that I could have asked for.
Absolutely. Yes. Well, I do hope that you will have future roles in productions here with Brook Street.
I hope so too. I think that's the plan.
Sure, whatever you find that you can find to do and go with that.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Tell us about your lovely family. Tell me about your happy husband some more, and about your beautiful child.
Yes, so Scott and I have been married we're coming up on 9 years here this fall. And we have been very blessed to have we had a nice few years of just the two of us kind of building our foundation, and a few months after we got married, we adopted this adorably fat ball of fur named Harvey. He's a very lazy orange house cat, and he has definitely been the center of our attention for quite some time.
They do tend to do that, don't they?
Yes.
Love me.
He was just a little upset when we brought Addison home.
Oh, sibling rivalry.
A little bit. He was a little pouty for a few days. But they have grown to become, she absolutely adores him. He's at least moderately patient with her.
That's good.
He tolerates her is maybe the best way to put it. Mm-hmm. But no, he's very sweet with her. He was twice her size when we brought her home.
Oh my God.
But
that one big cat.
Oh yes. It took a few months for her to finally outgrow him. But,
oh my God.
No, but he's sweet. No, Addie is almost a year and a half now, and she is the absolute light of our lives. We're working on walking right now, which has been a bit of a struggle.
Sure.
She'd rather just be carried everywhere. And I suppose I don't blame her.
I can't blame it. I wish somebody carried me around some days.
Yes. But she is just, and I might be a little biased, but I think she is just, she's so smart. Mm-hmm. You know, she watches everything that you do, and she, it almost looks like she's analyzing what you're doing so that she can figure out how to do it herself.
Yes.
And
she may be.
Yes. Mm-hmm. She ended up having to come backstage with me for a little bit prior to a performance for August Osage County before I could go drop her off with a babysitter one day. Mm-hmm. And she was just wide-eyed at everything, and it brought back so many memories of me growing up backstage
Absolutely.
With my parents, and I can't wait to expose her more to that as she grows up and hope that she falls in love with that as much as we have. But she absolutely loves to be outside. She loves animals. We're very into books, which makes my heart warm.
Wonderful. She's hitting all the right markers.
Oh, absolutely. She's starting to develop a little bit of a sassy attitude.
Oh,
I see. I'm not entirely sure where she gets that from. So I'm biting my tongue here.
The host with the mostest, gracious hostess, I'm not saying a thing.
You're too sweet.
They pay me.
So anyway. Very well, I see.
Anyway, so I know you will probably have a beautiful child there. I always think of children on stage that sing out Louise from Gypsy. So there you go. Someday she'll be in a Brick Street show.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh!
As soon as we're just a little bit older, we're definitely jumping right into Brick Street Kids.
Because they have that beautiful summer program for kids.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So. Yep.
I don't know what the minimum age is for that. But.
I don't know off the top of my head either, but when we get there, we'll be the first to sign up.
So I have a couple more questions for you, Liz. Now that we know about your beautiful family and what you do for a career, what are some of your hobbies and interests? And I think you've maybe alluded to some of them.
Yeah.
But what do you do if you have free time? How
Yeah, what little free time I do have. No, I'm also an avid reader. I haven't been able to get in. I've kind of gotten out of that a little bit with having Addie. She takes up a lot of my attention and my energy. Shocking. But Scott and I love to travel. Thanks to the pandemic, we got really into gardening. And so right now we're working on cleaning up the yard and getting our garden ready to start planting flowers and veggies for the summer. So I'm kind of excited about that.
Martha Stewart, there you go.
Oh, not quite. Not quite. But we're very excited about that. Yes. I do love to find new crafty things to work on. I recently got into crocheting, so we'll see how that goes. I'm definitely not perfect at it, but it's going along better than I anticipated.
You going to crochet blankets for your daughter and little hats and sweaters? And
maybe. We'll see.
Knit?
I think you can do either.
Okay, I don't.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I tried knitting a long time ago and never really got into it. I couldn't figure it out. But it's mostly artsy things. If I have any free time, I try to find ways to just kind of relax more than anything else.
Absolutely.
But knowing that Addie loves to be outside, she also really loves swimming. So we're pretty excited to take her to the pool here this summer and do all that fun stuff.
It just sounds like you've got a great life. And that leads me to my final question for you, Liz, as I normally ask all of my victims, guests, is why do you and your husband, you mentioned when you graduated from college that you stayed here.
Mm-hmm.
What was it about? And I think you've alluded to this also, but it probably is warranted to mention again. Why you like staying in the Forest City, North Iowa area.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So we just fell in love with the community. You know, it's, and I see it every day with my job, but it's the support that everyone seems to have for each other. It's the openness to some new ideas and just kind of having that small town feel and knowing that, you know, you've got plenty of people that you can depend on when you need them, or plenty of friends that have turned into family for us. And, you know, we're still close enough to family that we can go visit when we want to. And it's closer to Target than I ever thought I could be.
So now we know the real reason.
It's the real reason.
It's Target. Target no, Boutique.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a nice little town. It's affordable, which at the time when we were potentially looking at what we wanted to do, that was definitely a big factor for
Absolutely.
Us. And we just never left. And it's nice being able to have, you know, places like Clear Lake and Mason City be,
exactly.
you know, closer by to kind of get out when we need to, but also still have everything that we need, you know, for basics here in town. So that's really, it's nice being able to have my office 6 blocks away from my house.
Oh,
you know,
you got it. Man.
Or not have a half an hour commute from home to work, you know, that was definitely a big factor. Both of us having jobs here in Forest City, we didn't really feel the need to move out of town by any means. And so
I want to thank you for taking time out of your schedule to come visit with Mr. B.
Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, you're so welcome, Liz. And to find out more about the wonderful educational foundation that we have here in town. And people just need to give scads of money for this, for these great young people who want to go out and make livings for themselves and make something of themselves. But the checkbook is maybe not what it should be.
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I know. And, you know, we look at the rates of college, which are definitely not going down anytime soon. And I think about how I feel like I was so naive to the financial side of college when I went into it. Mm-hmm. And I wish that I had really known more about it. It was that couple months before graduation when my parents had to sit me down and go, okay, dose of reality. Here's what the bill is going to be when you graduate. I went, oh, my goodness. That was not what I was expecting.
No,
how did this happen? Like, well, because of this, and this. I'm like, okay, well, that makes a lot more sense. So my overall goal, and I tell the kids this, I know it sounds cheesy, but my goal with this job is to help them find what they're passionate about and find the best way to make those goals come true for them while also still doing it in a fiscally responsible way.
That's a great way of putting it, fiscally responsible.
You know, and Scott and I have done just fine for ourselves, and thankfully we were able to pay off his loans fairly quickly, but we're still paying on my student loans. And I think that there are a lot of people in our generation that struggle with that, and so I'm hoping that with this next generation coming up that I can help them be a little bit more aware of what it's going to take to go to college. You know, not everything needs a four-year degree. Not everyone needs to go to a super expensive school to get the job that they want. If that is what you're destined to do or what you want to do, that's great. But understand that this is what it's going to look at financially. Now, here's some other resources that could help you with all of that.
Exactly.
So
well, you heard it right there, folks. This is a woman to go to. All right. So, Liz, thank you for being a part of my happy neighborhood.
Absolutely.
And I hope that you continue to do well in your career, and I hope to see you more on stage, or maybe you could direct again.
Absolutely. I would love that. You know, I've heard that you have some directing experience of your own.
Well, we don't need to talk about that.
I feel like there's a collaboration here in the future. I can maybe twist your arm just a little bit.
Well, if anybody could twist my arm, you could.
Oh, good.
So if you wanted to twist my arm, but you're going to have to take me out for a steak.
I can probably do that.
But yes, I've had a little experience. But I've got to share with you, and this is not about me, but I'm always making it sound like it's about me. But I have very much enjoyed being away from that because my cup was full.
Oh, absolutely.
My cup was full. Mm-hmm. And it was great to have the cup full. But it would probably have to take a major miracle. But maybe
I'll
capable
get that.
Of that.
I'll see what I can do.
Okay. Well, folks, that's Liz Thompson, and I got a feeling she's going to be in contact with me. So anyway, you have a good time out there. Enjoy your coffee and enjoy that Danish. And I hope that you just stay happy being here in the North Island area. Bye-bye, folks.
You've just heard another installment of Mr. B's Neighborhood. Tune in to KIOW Mix 107.3 every second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 5:30 p.m. for Mr. B's Neighborhood. Missed a show or want to re-listen to one? Find episodes in podcast form at KIOW.com. It's located on the right-hand side of the homepage. Mr. B's Neighborhood, available at KIOW.com.